Yes, the Christian Bible is quite plain. Women do not serve in the military. In past wars, we classified some men as conscientious objectors. The Christian religion places all women in that same class. In a few minutes, I'll give my address where you can write for a free printed copy of God's Bible Laws on Military Draft and Warfare, which shows how women are to be exempted from military service. So you call friends, especially any girls of draft age whom you know, and tell them to listen to Pastor Emery explain how and why they should be exempted from military service on religious grounds. While you make that call, I am going to read an accumulation of comments I have collected about women in military service. We already have women volunteers, as you know. The Army has trained some of them in combat units, so what I am going to read about their experiences is already known to our born-again president and to the U.S. Congress. Phyllis Schlafly and other women who oppose the ERA have tried to tell America that women would be drafted and that women are not fit for military service. But the Army would not listen and accepted women volunteers. Well, here are some comments on the problems which have been revealed already, and as I read these, remember, I'm reading of problems relating to those who volunteered for service. Think of how these things would be compounded by taking into military service tens of thousands of young girls who do not want to go. Quote, a common complaint from female soldiers is that they do not have privacy to bathe. Some base hospitals are issuing birth control pills to female soldiers because of the high incidence of rape by male soldiers. Ammunition may have to be repackaged in smaller cartons so it can be lifted by female soldiers. Doctors know the different bone structure of females prevents them from being good throwers. Female trainees often make such short throws with hand grenades, they endanger themselves. Male soldiers complain because they have to change flat tires for female truck drivers. Some girls cannot even lift the hoods on the large army trucks. At some bases, as many as 30% of the female soldiers are pregnant at any one time. Several bases are already having investigations after female soldiers filed formal complaints that they were denied promotions unless they gave sexual favors to superiors. One spokesman said that abortions performed on female soldiers has become the major peacetime surgery in some military hospitals. Parents need not be notified. It is reported that young female soldiers often burst into tears when they are chewed out by drill instructors or officers. Russia and Israeli, after years of drafting women into combat units, have discontinued the practice. An Army publication described the obstacle course at Fort Bragg as sheer pandemonium. It seems the male soldiers had to pull, push, lift, and carry females over walls, through mud, and under the barbed wire. Communist soldiers in Korea and in Vietnam often drove female civilians ahead of them because they knew American GIs were reluctant to kill women. Infantry officers are worried that same compassion for females could make males overly solicitous of female comrades on the battlefield and thereby endanger their whole outfit. Officers admit that less than one-half of the males in combat actually fire their weapons, the rest freezing from fear. Experts insist among women it could be less than 10%. Some officers remarking on the tendency of women to throw up their hands when confronted with an emergency are afraid many will do just that the first time they see their girlfriends killed. The practice of communist soldiers of raping captive females is well known. However, it has not been discussed by politicians in relation to young American girls in the war zones. Phyllis Schlafly alluded to it on a Merv Griffin TV show about a year ago. ERA promoters avoid the subject. One writer did ask, however, I wonder how Americans would react to a returning hospital ship loaded with the maimed and broken bodies of thousands of young girls. And here is an historical fact from another country. When the Red Bolshevik Nikita Khrushchev sent his Russian tanks manned by Mongol soldiers into Budapest, Hungary in 1956 to crush the Hungarian rebellion, they did not attack the rebel strongholds. Instead, the tanks were sent to the residential areas, to the apartment complexes, where they methodically began murdering women and little children. Within hours, this slaughter of their women drove the men to surrender to the communists. They laid down their arms and quit, even though most of them knew they would be executed, which they were. Caucasian men simply will not kill women or allow women to be killed in combat, even if it means their own life. The Red Communists know that, and I should therefore add the comment of one more ex-military man, quote, if America's enemies wanted to destroy the ability of our army to fight, they could not do it more effectively than by putting hundreds of thousands of attractive young girls in our infantry, in tanks, at air bases, and on our Navy ships at sea, end of quote. Yes, drafting young girls into military service rather than strengthening America will bring the final chaos to our military necessary to render it helpless before the Red Bolsheviks who plan our destruction. And Jimmy Carter and those who rule America with him have got to know that they are not that stupid. All right, the common sense of man and our own human experience tells us women have no place in the army. Now to God's Word. Turn to Numbers chapter 1. I read this last week. It bears repeating, for it excludes females from the military draft. All right, Numbers 1, verses 1 through 4. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation, on the first day of the second month, in the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, now this is God Almighty speaking. Take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel after their families, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their polls, from 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel. Thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies, and with you there shall be a man of every tribe, every one head of the house of his fathers. As I explained last week, this was the numbering or mustering of the nation's militia. It excluded females. It included only able-bodied males 20 years of age and older. In verse 47 through 49, it excluded the tribe of Levi, who were the priests. Although the priests were not trained for combat, we will see in Deuteronomy 20 that some always went with the soldiers to battle. And from that command, we do get our army chaplains. More on that later. Let me quote from page 3 of the article on God's laws on the military draft and warfare. Quote, our early colonies followed this Bible law quite closely in setting up what they called the militia. All males were trained in warfare so that in the event of hostilities, this vast reservoir of trained males was available for immediate mustering for defense. We still retain a part of this biblical practice. As we see here and later, there was no plan for a large permanent army. The army would always come in time of danger from the whole citizenry and would be loyal to it rather than to any current general or king. Also, no females were numbered by God for his armies, nor were females ever mustered for war by our European ancestors. Up until late in the 20th century, neither have our own people ever considered doing such a foolish thing. We knew that neither God's laws nor the English common law allowed the authorities to require females to serve in the country's armed forces. Then later in the article, in summing up God's law, we say this, quote, "In the experience we have already had in recent years with women volunteers, we have seen them humiliated, degraded, overcome with liquor and drugs, seduced, and even raped and killed by male soldiers. What might happen to women in combat or upon capture by enemy soldiers is so obvious it needs no description here. Christian morality and our national conscience, if it were not so seared, would recoil in horror at the prospect. Females are exempted from military service by God's laws. Any person or nation which forces women to serve in the military is committing a sin. The New Testament tells us in 1 John 3:4, sin is the transgression of the law. Like Israel of old, America will come under the judging hand of God for her manifold sins, if our rulers and our people add to their sins by the forcible drafting of our young women into our military. It will but make our guilt more grievous and God's retribution more certain." End of quote. Then at the very end of the article, we have a section addressed special to American women. Quote, "You have now seen that God's laws in the Christian Bible exempt females from any kind of military service. The Constitution of the United States and that of various states, our own customs, traditions, and our heritage of several centuries of English common law give our government no right, authority, or permission to impress females into any form of government service. Several thirds of our history in Europe give us no record of any such thing except under the most cruel of dictatorships. The history of the world tells us that none but the basest of men have ever stooped so low as to attempt to use women to wage war. Any female who is a believer in God's word in the Christian Bible is automatically exempt from military service and should be classed as a conscientious objector by the government. Anyone who wishes to claim such status in order not to be drafted into military service are welcome to use this paper for that purpose or contact our church for further information. We will give you whatever help we can in Christ, and then it is signed by me. And I hereby urge every young girl or the parents of any young girl of draft age to sit down right now and write me for this article, God's Bible Laws on Military Draft and Warfare. It may help you obtain an exemption on religious grounds. And by the way, the United States Congress just passed a bill to allow individuals to refuse to join unions if they followed a religion with a tradition of opposing union membership. Well, I can tell you for certain, you belong to a religion which has a tradition of opposing the drafting of women into military service, and that tradition goes back more than 2,000 years. It goes back almost 3,500 years. It is called the Christian religion. All right, now turn to Deuteronomy 20, which is headlined in most Bibles, Laws for Warfare, or Laws in Time of War, which they are. And remember, to even begin this, we must first start with only males 20 years old and older. Carter recently announced that he prefers to draft men and women under 20 years of age because, quote, they are more easily trainable. What he means, of course, is that they are boys and are more easily fooled and led into military adventures in foreign continents than are men. Older men have a mind of their own, complete with more experience. Teenagers are easily molded to do the ruler's bidding, even when the ruler is carrying out policies destructive to the nation itself. Now, let us see how this army of able-bodied males 20 years of age and up is to be organized, instructed, and to carry on war. Deuteronomy 20, verses 1 through 4. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots, and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint, fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. So the first thing which must be done when war is imminent is that the ministers of Jesus Christ would be called on to preach to the entire muster of men. They would tell them, Ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint, fear not, and do not tremble. The margin says that could read, Do not make haste. Don't get overexcited. Don't make the wrong decisions by making decisions too quickly. After all, God is on your side. Take time. Do it right. Verse 4, For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. This was all to be said to the whole militia by the priests, or we would call them the ministers, to encourage them that God was with them. America has had chaplains representing Israel's God ever since we came to this continent. It is a custom of our race, originating, of course, in ancient Israel, from whom our race is descended. Today, under the command of our so-called born-again commander-in-chief, military chaplains are being ordered not to use the name of the God of Israel, Jesus Christ, when they talk to the soldiers. They are told they should not, quote, offend non-Christians, unquote. Our rulers seem not to care that we offend God Almighty, just so we don't offend non-Christians. All right, the battle is near. The priests or chaplains have spoken to all of the men trained for war. Now comes the verses which exempt some males not from military training, but from combat itself. We would call it a deferment. Verse 5, And the officers shall speak unto the people, saying, What man is there that hath built a new house and hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in battle and another man dedicate it. Any man who has just built a new home, who is just getting his family settled, is excused from combat. Later, of course, after he is settled, he would be eligible again. Verse 6. And what man is he that hath planted a vineyard and hath not eaten of it? Let him also go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle and another man eat of it. Any man new in business or farming, whose enterprise might fail if he were to be absent at that time, is excused. Again, this is temporary. He is deferred, as it were, from combat now. Later, when his business is more established and he is able to leave it in other hands, he would not be excused. We have done something like this in past wars, where we've deferred farmers or men in what we call vital industries, where they were supposedly more important to the war effort in their business than they were in the army. Verse 7, And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife and hath not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, lest he die in battle and another man take her. Men engaged to be married soon are deferred. By not taking them in the first place, this eliminates the Dear John letters the GIs knew so much about. An engaged man away from home risks losing his girl to someone else. If it happens, his morale is destroyed, And he may not only be useless to his outfit, he could be downright dangerous. Some of you ex-GIs know of men who got a Dear John letter, and in his despondency of being 8,000 miles away from a girl who had just jilted him, had gone out and pulled some dumb stunt and got himself killed and perhaps some others with him. This same thing happens to men newly married, so God exempts them also. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 24 and verse 5. When a man hath taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year, and he shall cheer up his wife, which he hath taken. Our own experience in war has proven that taking newly married men into war service often results in a broken marriage. After a year of married life, the bonds of marriage are much stronger. They not only have adapted to each other, but their love is usually greater than it was when they married, and it will stand a temporary separation with much less chance of infidelity or divorce. Newly married men, engaged men, and those described in verse 5 and 6 of Deuteronomy 20, the ones with new businesses or a new home, would all make poor soldiers in the heat of battle. Deferring them from combat service is not just an act of compassion or discrimination on God's part. It takes out of the fighting unit those men whose personal burdens or anxieties could affect their ability to fight. They could be a liability to an outfit in combat, as many combat veterans of our wars would testify. God Almighty, who after all created us, knows more about us than we do, and certainly His laws of warfare, which we are reading, are much wiser than any our government could think of. All right, my time is about gone. There is more in Deuteronomy 20, which I will cover next time, God willing. One more warning. The government and the news media are going to give massive publicity to the opposition to the draft by hippies, rabble-rousers, and known communists. They want you to think the dirty ones, the scum, and the anti-Americans are the only ones who oppose the draft. So you, the patriotic majority Americans, will be tricked into supporting it. After all, you don't want to be accused of being on the side of the hippies and the communists, do you? They did this to you during the Vietnam War. They gave vast and continuing television and news coverage to hippies, draft dodgers, and communists as opposing the war. It was all done to get you to support the war and to provide your sons to fight and die in a useless war in a foreign land, and it worked. Ignore them. Seek God's word. Seek God's will in this, and don't let them trick you again. Write me right today for this Bible study on God's laws on the military draft and warfare. Quoting again from the last page of the article, any female who is a believer in God's word in the Christian Bible is automatically exempt from military service and should be classified as a conscientious objector by the government. Write for it today. The announcer will give my address in just a moment, and listen in again next week. Until next week, when I return, God willing, to continue this study on God's laws on warfare, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian America.